The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode. Before we jump in, make sure you leave that 5-star rating and review wherever you're listening to the show. It takes literally 10 seconds, and it goes a long way. And if you do that, I will send you a free training on how to find and evaluate rental properties. If you've never done it before, you're not sure if you're doing it correctly, it'll definitely help you out. And so you can send a screenshot of your review to my email. My email is in the show notes, and I'll reply back and get you that free training. All right, this is going to be an interesting one. We are going to discuss a story that I read recently and saw on TikTok as well. So it's a story from a TikTok user. Her name is Sarah Priebus. I believe that's her name. I think she is an actor or something like that in New York City. And basically, she's alleging that her landlord is trying to force her out by not putting the heat on. And so I also got some information from a website called Distractify. I think it's like a blog. So I'm going to share some context about what's going on. Then we're going to listen to the audio of a clip that she recently posted, giving an update on what's going on. And then lastly, I'm going to talk about how this impacts you or can impact you as an investor, and some things for you to think about from the investor standpoint. So as always, you know, I try to tailor these stories into how it can help you and what you should look out for as you grow on your investing journey. All right, so let's jump into the context. So Sarah made a bunch of posts with screenshots of text messages that she exchanged with her landlord. And one of the things that I thought was interesting is that Sarah's landlord is very interesting in her coming and in her going. She's an actor, so sometimes she's gone for extended periods of time. And, you know, there were some texts that were sent asking if she's moved out of the apartment and saying that, you know, such and such other tenant said that you moved out of the apartment. And I, you know, that's pretty inappropriate to me. And, you know, first thing I think of is why can't the other person mind their business? You know, allegedly, it's possible this person, the landlord, might be making this up. And so I hope it's not a situation where another person saying, oh, I haven't seen X, Y, and Z in so long. I mean, those of you who live in apartments or have lived in apartments, you don't always see your neighbors every day. You know, everybody's life is different and what everybody does is different. So I thought that was interesting. And so anytime she's gone for an extended period of time, the landlord is asking her if she has moved yet. And you would think the tenant in most cases would tell the landlord if they're moving. And so the other thing that the landlord has mentioned to her is that they've offered already to pay her to move. So they offered her $10,000 and asked her if that's enough, and saying, you know, she can find really good deals in New York City. And she basically is saying, you know, I'm not planning to move. If I do, I'll let you know, but I like living here. And so let's transition to the heating part, which is interesting. So there was another screenshot when Sarah sent a message to her landlord with the laws in New York City. And I'll read them to you in case you don't know. So it says all residential building owners are required to maintain indoor temperatures of at least 68 degrees. When outdoor temperatures fall below 55 degrees during the day, indoor temperatures must also be a minimum of 62 degrees overnight, regardless of outdoor temperatures. And this is from the website of the New York City Department of Housing Preservation and Development. And The landlord told her just to use a space heater and said that she's the only one in the building complaining. Like, this is crazy to me. Like, I really can't believe that a landlord is having these kind of conversations with someone, especially in this day and age when anything can be put on blast and you can really be exposed for bad behavior much quicker. And so I'm flabbergasted by this. I look forward to hearing what you all think about it, but let's take a look at the audio. Let's listen to the audio of a clip she recently put out with an update on what's going on, and I'll talk some more about my thoughts on that.
My landlord is trying to force me to move out of my rent-stabilized apartment with every fear tactic possible, and his latest one is this. Do you know what that is? As you can see, I took that photo from my doorway. That is a camera pointed into my apartment. I literally walked out of my apartment and saw this and knocked on my neighbor's door and was like, hey, did you put a camera in the hallway? Mind you, there are no other cameras in my apartment building, so this is very unusual. We've literally had issues with people stealing packages from the hallway. We've talked about putting cameras in. We've asked my landlord to put cameras in, and there have never been cameras put in the building. So he was like, no, I thought you put that there for your own safety. And I was so thoroughly creeped out by this. I was like, I'm getting a piece of tape, I'm getting a ladder, and we are covering this right now. And as soon as I turned around to head back into my apartment to grab these things, my landlord's voice comes through the camera and says, don't touch it. The way that I immediately felt so violated and angry and uncomfortable. So of course I told him, you will be hearing from my lawyer because this cannot be legal. And then I followed through, I called a lawyer, and apparently in New York State, you are allowed to put cameras in the public areas of apartment buildings. So I've literally been living with a camera pointed into my apartment for like a year now. But like, I'm not even doing anything, so I don't even care. Watch my apartment door. Go ahead. And for everyone asking, I paid $2,472 for this apartment, and even if I paid less, it is still the landlord's responsibility to provide heat for the tenants living in his building. Feel free to watch my previous video for more context on that. Anyway, I'm going to my mom's for Thanksgiving, so I will be nice and toasty.
All right, so I personally don't have any remorse for the landlord or empathy or anything, and here's why. As a landlord, it is your responsibility to understand the law locally where you're investing and your limitations within the law, what you can and cannot do as a landlord, as it relates to any aspect of being a landlord. So that's first. And second, the landlord is also responsible for making sure the unit is safe and comfortable, or the house is safe and comfortable, whatever the situation is. I've had times, or I had a time when the furnace just stopped working and I had to call and got somebody to go to the house the next day to fix it for the tenant, right? That's my responsibility, right? And so I don't like the fact that he wasn't taking it serious, that she wasn't properly heated and the building wasn't properly heated. You know, I had a situation with a family member who was in a similar situation where the landlord was really just a slumlord and we had to get her out of there before, you know, she dealt with that situation any further. And so, you know, I don't feel bad for him in that sense. And this is why, you know, if you follow me, I always say strongly consider investing in landlord-friendly states. Landlord-friendly states, landlord-friendly cities are areas in which it is easy to enforce a lease. It's easy to evict a non-paying tenant. You can non-renew. There's no rent control. All of those things create a great environment for landlords to operate and conduct business. And this is what happens when you invest in places that are not landlord friendly. You are squeezed. You can't increase the rent at a certain point in time. You have long-term folks in there. You will be below market rent. And so it's something to consider. This landlord is not handling it in an appropriate way, but I hope this teaches you something as you are looking to grow your investment portfolio or even buy your first investment property. If you're somebody who lives in an area that's not landlord friendly and too expensive, one or one of the two, I encourage you to consider investing out of state. That's what I did, living in California, investing in Ohio. And it's something that you can do. It's something that's possible for you. And if you're interested in that, I strongly encourage you to attend my workshop starting January 17th. It's going to be 4 weeks virtually, one day a week. We're going to go over various aspects of investing out of state. It's going to be homework so you can implement what you're learning. We're going to talk about how to find the right location, how to build the right team, creative financing, and also how to find and analyze deals, how to run the numbers. We're going to do that in real time. looking at deals together. And so if you're interested in that, I encourage you to go to outofstatemoney.com/workshop and submit your application, or you can click the link below in the show notes. All right. So let me know what you think. I'm very curious to know your thoughts, but I thought I would share this crazy story. Like, I was watching it this morning, like, wow, this is nuts. I need to put this out to you all so you understand what's going on. All right. So definitely make sure to leave that 5-star rating and review. I greatly would appreciate it. And I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.